You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
It's 1 o'clock. We are in America Web Radio, the most eclectic conservative shows in America. And this is Let's Talk Venezuelan. With me is David Moxley, the legend. And Brad, how are you? How are you, gentlemen? Today, Josie is not with us because she's in an assignment on her job. But do you know that what's her Josie's favorite saying? Republican that doesn't work is a Democrat. Well, we have a lot of news today about Venezuela. By the way, I'm Cat Fletcher, Carlos Alfredo Torres Fletcher. And now, Venezuela election negotiations set to begin next week in Mexico. The government opposition expected to sign an MOU to set framework. More detailed talks set for September ahead of November regional vote. Officials from the Venezuelan government and opposition are expected to meet next week in Mexico City to kick off negotiations aimed at ending a political standoff ahead of regional elections in November, according to people with direct knowledge of the matter. National Assembly leader Jorge Rodriguez and Miranda State Government Hector Rodriguez will negotiate on behalf of President Nicolas Maduro, while the opposition will send former legislator and mayor of Baruta Gerardo Blight, along with the representative from each of the main parties, said the people who asked not to be named, discussing the issue since it hasn't been made public. The politicians are expected to meet as early as August 13 to sign a memorandum of understanding to set a framework for more detailed talks in September that would lead to agreements on conditions and terms of holding the vote later this year. Norway, which mediated negotiations in 2019, would oversee the talks along with delegations from Russia and France, which will help negotiate for Maduro and the opposition led by Juan Guaido, respectively. Three of the people said. Argentina and Netherlands have also been invited, they said. The objective is to create a series of conditions for all political forces to take part in a nationwide gubernatorial and mayoral elections on November 21st, to bring an end to a five-year stalemate in which the main opposition parties have boycotted previous votes. The opposition's participation is considered a key test for Maduro as he tries to convince the U.S. to ease economic sanctions by lifting bans on politicians and parties. Rodriguez and Blight declined to comment on the prospect for traveling to Mexico next week or details on the talks. Mexico was selected because it seems a neutral venue to host the conversations. A Mexican foreign ministry spokesman said he has no information about whether the negotiations were being planned. Three previous attempts at reaching an electoral agreement have broken down, most recently in Norway and Barbados in 2019. But Maduro has said that the government is open to fresh talks. He said last month that the government is ready to sit down with a realistic objective and truly Venezuela agenda to reach partial agreements for peace so that all criminal sanctions are lifted. Well,
let me ask you, Carlos, do you think these will be legal elections?
No.
Okay. Well, that answers
not
that.
At all.
Not at all,
and you don't negotiate with communists. You never negotiate with communists. The objective of communists is Machiavellic. They reach the power, and then they being in power and using whatever they want to keep in power.
Sort of like Putin staying in office all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Putin is a communist just with a paint over. But he was a former head of the KGB, so you know what I mean. It's Machiavellic. It's the old 15th century way to reach power, and then they do with power wherever they please. The only negotiation that you have with communists is an unconditional surrender. Okay? Unconditional surrender. You leave the country and we prepare the elections. We, the people. The problem is that in Venezuela, especially this guy, Jorge Rodriguez, he was former Consejo Nacional Electoral, CNE, president. Place is the one who organized elections. He is the one who prepared this company...
Dominion?
Dominion Software, exactly. Exactly. You know, so going into negotiations with the government, with this, it's a discussion among socialists. That's what it really is. In Venezuela, unfortunately, the political discussion is my socialist is better than yours. But if you see in this paper, the problem basically is that they are not talking about civil liberties or civil rights or human rights. No. They are just talking about how they share power. That's it. It's a political negotiation. But do you know something? That's nothing for the people or to the people. That's nothing. It's the same tango, and you need two to tango. Okay? So, and when they said, yeah, Mexico is a neutral territory, really, with Andrés Manuel López Obrador as president, that he is a communist, a guy who said that the best leader in the history of Latin America was Fidel Castro. Please, what are they talking about? They are just, you know, giving a little bit of what's the, you know, it's legal, but it's not legit. Okay? The problem is that in Venezuela, for many, many years, we had this sort of Gramsci, or progressive way to go into socialism. Venezuela, Chavez is not a product, is not the guy who brought communism in Venezuela. We had a progressive way, little by little, eroding.
Is that what you're seeing in the United States right now?
Yes. The United States is Venezuela 1970. That's what I see right now in United States. You see it in the media, in the press, in the church, and in the schools. You see it. If you go to Georgia's universities, if you are not leftist, they left you. You are nothing. You have no right to graduate. I have some people who were in the universities and have to write things like that we are living in the Soviet Union in 1956 or China 2021. It's awful what you see in public universities here. It's awful how they bend history in high schools. It's awful. They have a version of history that is not real. Okay? But they sell us that, and you see this lack of patriotism, people that bend the knees when the national anthem is sounding, yeah. And do you know something I do not accept? Because I had an uncle who died for this country. Okay?
You know,
during the Cold War, he was based in Hamburg, and he was poisoned. He was he belonged to the intelligence division of U.S. Army, and he was poisoned. You know, the Cold War was a real war. Real. Okay? So, in the rest of the note, it says it is unclear whether the former vice president of the National Assembly, Stalin Gonzalez, look, hear that. This guy, who is in the opposition in Venezuela, his first name is Stalin.
Stalin, huh?
Stalin, a close ally of former presidential candidate Enrique Capriles, will attend the dialogue. The Capriles-led bloc insists that before starting on the negotiations, the opposition must decide whether to register candidates. The registration period runs from August 9th to August 29th. Geoff Ramsey, a Venezuela analyst of the Washington Office on Latin America, said this negotiation could differ from previous rounds because there is an understanding in Washington and in Caracas that there won't be an overnight solution, but a long-term transition. The idea of maximum pressure leading to a breakthrough on its own without negotiation has been thoroughly discredited, he says. That is very positive and shows the possibility of building a partial and gradual agreements. I don't think so. This is a very dangerous change on policy of the United States of America. The pressure against these crooks and criminals must continue, because the sanctions are not against Venezuela. The sanctions are against some punctual people who rob Venezuela treasure and use the United States Bank to commit their crimes. That's the point. It's not against Venezuela. It's against these people who steal $80 billion in a period of 20 years. That's what it is. It's about six times the Marshall Plan. That's what it happens in Venezuela. Meanwhile, you have 6 million Venezuelans going out of their borders, okay, and the rest of Venezuela living in under insecurity, living without real food, okay, without real ways and means to survive. If you got sick in Venezuela and you don't have the resources, you are dead. That's the sad reality right now into the Venezuelan society. Guaido, who leads the opposition's parallel National Assembly, has said that the negotiations should focus on an electoral schedule that includes future presidential and legislative votes, and not just for mayors and governors this year. As you see, these negotiations are just a timeshare, you know? Let's share the power and let's keep the people solutions away. And after this message, I'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You have some words for the Venezuelans that are listening right now in this station. Please.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that if whether you're Venezuelan and you're in the States or you're Venezuelan still in Venezuela but have contacts in the state, let the folks here know what it's like. And, you know, the how socialism has worked out for Venezuela, which is turning into communism. And this is something that's been predicted for years in the United States, that socialism would take over and then it would be the next step would be communism. And that's what we're seeing today. And our teachers are not teaching, they're indoctrinating, and we've got to stop it. And the only way we can stop it is parents being knowledgeable about what's going on in their kids' schools. And so, you know, we had a doctor on today that's Cuban, and he was telling us, you know, about what it's like to be in Cuba now, and just like you were referring to, Carlos, about needing medical attention, you're not going to get it. You get sick, you're going to die. And that's just one less mouth they have to feed. And that's basically the way they look at it. And this is a sickness that has invaded our country. If we think the pandemic was bad, socialism and the next step, communism, is that much worse. And we just have to look at Venezuela, we have to look at Cuba. I can remember when Cuba was free, before Fidel Castro. And, you know, it was not free before Fidel Castro, but it was better, a little bit better.
And yeah, they had sort of socialist regime because this guy, Batista began in the 30s as a revolution of the sergeants. He was a sergeant on the Cuban army, and they did a socialist revolution at that time.
Well, what the CDC came out with yesterday is just absolutely absurd, where if there's a spike in COVID-19 or anything else, that renters don't have to pay their rent. And that's communism. Absolutely. And it's absurd when you have an unelected organization. The CDC is, they're nothing.
So the owners of the property will not pay taxes?
They have to pay, and they have to pay their mortgages. But the renters, if it's in an area that has spiked, they don't have to pay rent. And there's one case where a renter is not paying rent, but subletting the place to somebody else, and he's getting rent off of it. So, folks, we're in the midst of a takeover. You mentioned Cold War. We're in the midst of a Cold War, yeah. And we're going to have to fight back. And if you listen to our show today, to the Doctor's Lounge, Scott Barber, Dr. Scott Barber, addressed the issue that we have to fight back in any way we have to, be it the vote is the way we normally do it, but if it takes more than that, it's going to take more than that. And I would say be very attentive and very aware of August the 10th and August the 11th. You know, we've got to take back our country from the AOCs and the communists and the other socialists, Bernie Sanders and these other folks that are, they're nothing but communists. Omar, she's nothing but a communist. Keith Ellison, Lori Bush, and the list goes on and on of
including
communists that are in our government.
Including Hank Johnson. Yeah.
And, you know, you wanted me to say something to the Venezuelans that are listening? Please contact your friends, anyone that you know, to pay attention and be prepared.
And be prepared, yes. Well, the other day, last week's show, we talked about the condensate that the Venezuelan is importing from Iran in order to begin with the increasing on productions in Venezuela. And a lot of people said, condensate milk? No. The condensate is a kind of ultra low kind of oil. It's basically it's the first thing that you get when you drill. The first thing that you get is condensate. I have to explain a little bit. It's a very small explanation. Okay. And it says, whatever you drill, you are looking for some type of a hydrocarbon. You came from a state that is oil-based, Texas. So this is very interesting. The main ones have always been oil or gas, but other hydrocarbons in the reservoirs usually come out during the drilling process, such as condensate. It's not gas, but it's not really oil. They name it in the industry like the natural gasoline. It's so thin and evaporates so fast that they name it the natural gasoline. Okay? Almost all holes are drilled with produced natural gas liquids such as butane, pentane, etc. The question is, it is more like natural gas, oil, or liquid natural gas, an explosive fuel. About 2 years ago, an Iranian tanker that came with condensate, they have an accident. They hit another cargo ship, and the tanker exploded, and all the crew on that tanker died. It was a big explosion because this condensate is very explosive, and this is a byproduct of the hydrocarbon drilling. The base of condensate is generally composed of pentane, propane, butane, and hexane, but also has CO2 and H2S, that's sulfur. Okay? Until recently, the Middle East and Russia were the largest condensate producer in the world. The remaining oil and gas production in the United States has changed that dynamic. What is condensate suitable for? The primary use of condensate is the manufacture of fuel, such as gasoline. In fact, within the petroleum slang, is known as the natural gasoline. However, that is only the beginning of the usefulness. It's the crucial ingredient in making certain types of plastics, and it's effective diluent used to stabilize heavier crude oil to the correct properties before sending to the refineries, such as happens in Venezuela. The condensate can be liquid or gaseous form, depending on the pressure and temperature. What that happens before it can be used condensate must be stabilized before it can be used or transported due to the explosive nature, but also because impurities can corrode the interior of transportation infrastructure. The key to stabilizing condensate is removing these impurities and optimizing the recovery of methane and propane, which are the most valuable components. All the natural gas liquids must be introduced at high pressure and preheated to the proper temperature to stabilize the condensate. Okay, the condensate come from deposit that condensates. It means the gas at that inside of the well is liquid. Okay, and that's the characteristic of the condensate oil. It's not gas, it's not real oil, but it's in both stage. It depends on the pressure and the temp, and it's very useful for a lot of things, but it's very dangerous. And now we are in the same thing. They are importing condensate into a very bad maintained facility such as Jose. Do you know what could happen when you transport 2 million barrels into that facility and something happened? Okay? Because sadly, Venezuela's facilities right now are in the shackles. And after this message, I will explain what is going on with the production in Venezuela. So, take it away, David.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair, former four-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Vietnam veteran. As a board member, I'd like to talk to you about Warriors to Citizen, a nonprofit organization that helps American heroes, soldiers, police, fire, EMT, and their families recover from the psychological harm caused by career-induced stress. Over the last 20 years, broken relationships have been a major causal factor for the highest document divorce rate and resulting suicides in this population. This program, from Warriors to Citizen, is delivered free to families by professionals, all whom served in uniform and understand the needs to be addressed. I ask for your support. So please, go to our website, warriorstocitizen.org, and find out how you can help, either by making a donation or sharing this information with an American hero that you may know. And thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army. With training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering, an Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, this is not a horse racing, but we have to talk about Venezuela, and everybody's running when that theme is touching, you know? Okay, this news comes from Israel. As you know, intelligence gathering is using the facts and making a conclusion on that news, and the people that is helping us in Israel brought me this analysis about what's going on in Venezuela and why Israel is so interested in what happens in Venezuela. We have to check the global geopolitics. Venezuela is one of the main allies of Iran. And if you notice, during this week, there is a big fight between Iran that just killed some people in the Persian Gulf, and Israel, United States, and United Kingdom. So they are taking all this information and said, okay, what is the position of Venezuela in this moment? And it says, Venezuela's oil production plans are totally unrealistic. This news is this week, and do you remember that last week we were talking about the efforts of the Venezuelan Petroleum Company to increase the production? Despite the near economic collapse, shattered oil industry infrastructure, and empty government coffers, Venezuela's oil minister Tarek El Alsami continued to speak of the prospect for OPEC members' crude production to rise. In a June 21st interview with Bloomberg, El Alsami stated that Venezuela would quadruple its oil production by the last quarter of 2021. The oil minister further noted that foreign investment could go to the industry regardless of the United States sanctions. PDVSA, the state-owned company of founding member of the OPEC and production, would eventually recover to a level such that Venezuela would be among the four largest oil-producing countries in the world. That's fantasy. Because once you have a problem with the dwell, it's almost impossible to recoup that dwell, and you have to inject a lot of money on the industry to do that. According to Direct Communications, OPEC July 2021 report shows that Venezuela pumped an average of 633,000 barrels a day by June 2021. Okay? But it's still significantly lower than the record of 3.1 million barrels per day pumping during 1998, before Chavez came to power. Furthermore, the data published by Venezuela on performance of the national oil company PDVSA is unreliable, leading many analysts to rely on information from secondary sources. OPEC data from secondary sources indicate that Venezuela only produced 529,000 barrels per day during June 2021. That means 100,000 barrels per day less than the Venezuelan government is saying they are producing. They're lying, basically.
There are, you know, Venezuela and their oil industry is broken.
Yes.
And is not going to be fixed overnight. And it'll take a Russia or the United States or someone that's big and powerful enough with the equipment.
Yeah,
to bring Venezuela back.
That's what the Israelis tell. Despite El Alsami's optimism, there are signs of a long road ahead for Venezuela before a sustained recovery in oil production takes place. a PDVSA leak claims that the National Oil Company believes a $58 billion U.S. dollar investment in Venezuela oil industry is needed to revive output of 1998 levels. This vast amount of capital will ultimately only be achieved by courting and attracting substantial investment from major foreign oil companies. But listen, $58 billion. But this government, this the Maduro and their crooks, already stole $80 billion. So you see the what happened with the money. Those $80 million, if they did what they had to do, were to keep the oil industry moving. No, they stole the money and they disinvest in the main industry. But this is the problem when you have socialists taking decisions. And this is not Maduro's fault. You said, Carlos, are you crazy? No. The problem is that in 1975, they took the industry that was... We had this business. It was the name was 50-50. What was the 50-50 deal? You are Exxon, like the Creole Petroleum Corporation, the Shell, the Mobil, okay? And you want to work in Venezuela. And the Venezuelan government says, okay, you come over here and we share 50-50 the price of the oil. If it's $100, $50 for you, $50 for me. But with your $50, you have to do the exploitation and the refinery of the product, because we don't allow you to take the crude oil. You have to process here. And after that, you have the facilities, you have the personnel trained, okay? You have the product, you have the largest refinery in the world, and with the rest you have to pay taxes on that, on the rest. So the Venezuelan government used to get about 70% in hard cash during that period between 1945 and 1980 and 1975. Okay? During those 30 years, you got a steady income as government in taxes and share of the product. It was a very good business. Now, when they nationalize the industry, you have to cope with everything. And you have to be responsible. And you have to do whatever it means to keep the industry running. Bad business. Very bad business. Because
communism.
Exactly. Exactly. So... the problem is that we were going little by little in a progressive way, walking through the communism. So, the Chinese engineering companies that initially pledged to repair and modernize heavily corroded Venezuelan refineries backed down due to their severe disrepair and lack of access to essential parts. Although Iran has rebuilt dilapidated Venezuela refineries, U.S. sanctions have prevented technicians in Tehran from obtaining vital interest in facilities designed and built by the West. Large Western energy company built much of Venezuelan oil infrastructure, so they depend on parts and technical knowledge from outside Venezuela, mainly from the United States, for maintenance and repair. These issues underscore the importance of easing U.S. sanctions before Venezuela can attract enough capital to rebuild its battery oil infrastructure. You know, the problem is that you cannot repair a refinery from a day to another. It takes sometimes months, and sometimes it takes years to repair a facility or to build a facility such as this. Okay, well, this is the end of the third part of the program, and we will be back after these messages. Take it away.
My name is Kyle Hayes, a motorsports student at Alfred State College. Every year, Alfred State students compete in the Great Race, which is a cross-country time endurance rally for vintage vehicles. As you can imagine, it's pretty costly. I'm asking for your help. Your donation can make it possible for these students to live their passion and promote the vintage automobile industry. Please visit our site at give.alfredstate.edu and search Great Race to learn more and help us reach our goal. Thank you.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
This is America's Web Radio. Would you like to have a show, talk about your business, or express your opinion on America's Web Radio? Just email gm@americaswebradio.com and we'll get back to you. Thank you.
Well, I invite you to go to America's Web Radio and go to patronize any of our programs. It's very important to keep this project going on. David, do you have something to say about that?
We just need people to become patrons, and if you go through our list of programming, it's second to none. We have the most outstanding host and programs on any radio station, and that's why we're one of the largest producing podcast radio stations in the country. No other show like The Doctor's Lounge, Let's Talk Venezuelan, on and on and on of good, great programming that brings you up to date. And our whole thing is we tell the truth. And before long, folks, I would say within the next week or two, the truth is going to be knocking on your door. And you'll know what I mean when it happens. Our country is in deep trouble, and we've got to pull it out. And the only way we can do it is by you listening to us, and we'll tell you what to do, and we'll always tell you the truth. So let's get back to a unique show called Let's Talk Venezuelan, because we want to expose all the bad that has happened in Venezuela since they became socialist and now communist. And folks, socialism is in our country, and the next step we have to be aware of.
Yeah, the losing our liberties and freedom. Well, the Organization of American State Experts called for the International Criminal Court on Monday to announce the opening of an investigation for alleged crimes against humanity against Venezuela, whose case is under preliminary examination. You know, we know that Venezuela is under a tyranny. And under a tyranny, you don't negotiate with tyrants. You don't negotiate with tyrants. These things that is going to happen in Mexico is sad. You don't negotiate with them. The only thing that you negotiate with them is, when do you leave? That's it. That's it. Venezuela has been under preliminary judicial scrutiny since 2018 for human rights abuses on its security forces, both in demonstration that occurred since 2014, and in some prisons where political prisoners were tortured and murdered. The panel, appointed in 2017 by the Secretary General of the OAS, Luis Almagro, called for the investigation to be opened. But on the opening or not of that investigation, the former ICC prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, who left her post on June 15, had to rule that and was replaced by the British lawyer Karim Khan. For the expert, any delay in this process would be inappropriate and would only cause greater damage to the Venezuelan people. Bensouda told the Spanish news agency EFE on June 8th that he hoped to announce whether or not he would be open an investigation in Venezuela for crimes against humanity as soon as the court resolved the request for the Caribbean country which complained of discriminatory and unequal treatment. In the note, the experts indicate that the ICC's pretrial chamber, I-1, rejected Venezuela's request as inadmissible on July 2nd. In this context, the panel considered that it's appropriate to announce the beginning of an investigation into crimes against humanity that occurred in Venezuela. Remember, crimes against the humanity do not are are always there, you know? The group of experts integrated by Manuel Ventura Robles from Costa Rica, a Santiago Cantón from Argentina, and Irwin Cutler from Canada point out that delay in this case would also allow that crimes against humanity and serious and systematic violations of human rights continues in Venezuela. Likewise, he stated that any visit to that country should be carried out as part of an investigation was open, following the invitation extended by the Attorney General of Venezuela, Tarek Saab, to the Chief Prosecutor of the ICC, Karim Khan. Well, this is happening when you convert a country into a tyrannical state. Venezuela has a regime that's illegitimate and illegal. And the only negotiation with them is when you leave power and when you go to jail. That's the only negotiation accepted with these criminals. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that truly believe that you can negotiate with communists, and that's just not true. Well, David, a last reflection on this matter, because I'm very concerned that what I see here is what I saw in Venezuela in the 70s. We're going little by little into a totalitarian state. And it's sad because the same, the churches, the schools, the media, and the press are taking this progressive way very, very happily. And they don't really understand that progressivism is not the progress for the people. Progressivism is taking your liberties in a progressive way until you have a tyrannical regime.
Well, they're taking our rights away from us, and we see that with what they're trying to do with COVID and with other rights that we have, our school rights. When parents have to go and do some of the things that they've had to do with their school districts and fight them, I applaud the parents that are doing that, but they shouldn't have to do that. We have history books. We had history books. We don't have history books today. Not telling the truth, anyway. So we got a fight on our hands. Scott Barber, Dr. Scott Barber, was talking about that this morning on Doctor's Lounge, that we have a fight on our hands. So with that being said, we're going to have to get ready for Let's Talk Venezuelan.
Hablemos Venezolano. Hablemos Venezolano. Venezolano.
What he said.
Thank you, David.
Okay. We'll be back with Carlos and Let's Talk Venezuelan in Spanish right after a couple of messages.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.